So did you bring your newspaper this morning?
You know, I actually, I didn't think about it till I got here. I wish I would have, but I
wasn't wasn't the Austin American Statesman on your doorstep waiting for you this morning early when you came
out? And the Wall Street Journal, and it's waiting for me at home as soon as I get back.
So two things. A, you are the first preacher that I've seen in person take the newspaper up into the pulpit and like read from it. And two, you're the only person that I think you're my only friend, and somebody will probably come and correct me, who actually gets a newspaper at their house anymore.
We're a dying breed.
You are, but don't die yet. Welcome to Rabbit Trails, where we explore Sunday's sermon for deeper theological connections and wider life applications, because you just can't say it all on Sunday.
Rabbit Trails is a ministry of Radiant Church in Austin, Texas, and we're discussing today the sermon from Sunday, December 3rd, 2017. You can listen to that sermon by visiting radiantaustin.com. I'm Brian Payne.
And I'm Andy Snyder.
The preacher.
And the prof. So that was cool. You brought the newspaper. I was kind of hoping there'd be a newspaper here so you could like hear the shuffling of the paper.
Crinkle, crinkle, crinkle. Yeah.
But no. But that's okay. Actually, the teaser had nothing to do with what I really want to talk about in this session. So yesterday we're in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 18, and so much great, man, there's some great commentary really on the story of God here, where there's enmity between Jew and Gentile, and Jesus has come, and he's broken down that wall of hostility, and so much really good perspective on the work of Christ, okay? But I want to talk about this idea of peace, okay? Jesus, it says twice in there, uses that word hostility. Mm-hmm. He's broken down the wall of hostility, and he has killed hostility through his own death. Love that image. It's so beautiful.
The irony is thick.
It is. But Jesus has made peace. A couple of times in the sermon, you talked about how it's good for us to still be involved in peacemaking efforts, to be involved in government, to be involved in political issues that go toward peace. And we could name, and we could just start listing off the different kinds of things we can be involved in. But my question, I'm sure other people are thinking this, that my question is there a difference between peacemaking and evangelism? All right, Jesus has come and made peace. He is the Prince of Peace. We're in Advent now. We're looking forward to the coming of the Prince of Peace. Can I be involved in peace, different kinds of peacemaking and political efforts if I'm not constantly talking about Jesus? Let's talk about that.
I mean, I think the way you just said it, different kinds of peacemaking. I think it would be good to think of evangelism as the greatest peacemaking strategy known to mankind, because it can make peace now and it can bring peace for all of eternity. So let's call it a kind of peace, or a kind that is the greatest. So anything as a Christian we do, we don't want to leave out the greatest peacemaking, which is sharing of Christ and making people at peace with God. But what I have found and lived in and experienced in my life is some who would say, if it's not the greatest, then it's of no value. If it's not evangelism, then whatever peace you're doing is temporary and probably a waste of time.
Right. And because it's temporary, it's a waste of time. Or because it's temporary, it's somehow a lesser pursuit. It has less value in some ways. I also have seen that in my background as well.
You know what? This just came to my mind. What the connection that you could make to the way that so many people are troubled by their profession. I have men all the time who like, if I just feel like I'm wasting my life because I'm over here in accounting, I'm over here at this, you know, tech firm. And I just feel like unless I'm a missionary and become a pastor, I'm wasting my time. I think both of these actually hit at the same problem. And that is that when God put us here, we were supposed to, or we are supposed to be those who have dominion over the world, and we're showing his glory by, I love how Albert Mohler always says it, brings about human flourishing, right? Mm-hmm. We rule over the world, but we're also caring for our brother and our sister of all mankind. So I must care about the needs of my neighbor, and I must care about bringing peace to them. So I can't say, you know what? This world is temporary. So if it's not evangelism, then when I feed the hungry person down the street, I mean, sure, it's not bad, but that wasn't really that helpful or important.
Wasn't really gospel ministry. Yeah. So how do we think about this? All right, let's go back to Jesus is the peacemaker. He is the ultimate peacemaker. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the one who broke down hostility between Jew and Gentile and vertically between us and God. He has reconciled, to use another Pauline term, he's reconciled us. So how do we go about engaging in the peacemaking efforts that we get involved in our life, whether it's feeding the hungry, whether it's lobbying for a particular issue, or just everyday peacemaking efforts?
Yeah. So we go about it as those who have peace with God. Okay. So we talked about that vertical. Because I've been made right with God, then I care about the things of God and what he's called me to do. And God says, these are people made in my image. Go and show and demonstrate my love. So what I do, first of all, is I have to get my own heart and thinking right. My attitude is, whatever I'm going to do to help people, whatever political thing I'm going to lobby, this isn't about me being right. This isn't about winning some argument or position. This isn't proving to people that I have this philanthropic heart and I'm going to, no, everything's now going to flow from this. Because I have peace with God, I care about humanity. And I mean, to me, there's multiple levels, but I think at the very beginning, it has to start with why.
Yeah, yeah. So the why is a key thing. And I'm also thinking, as you were talking about that, I was thinking, you know, as citizens of God's kingdom, whose king is the Prince of Peace, we should be better equipped. We should be the best equipped human beings for peacemaking, you know? Because we have a heart, that understands that God is in control of the flow of history. We're participating in his story. So we can have this peaceful heart about us as we encounter the problems of the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as a Christian, once again, I see two big ditches and I want to stay out of both of them.
Here come the ditches.
Why can I never get out of that ditch?
No.
That's how I see everything now.
It's a good thing.
So here's one, and that is, look, this whole world is going to hell in a handbasket, and it's all going to be destroyed then, and God's going to create a new heavens and a new earth. No. So everything else I do but evangelism is a waste of time and a pointless endeavor. Okay, not helpful, not biblical. It's not showing any kind of transformation that I have in Christ to care for my fellow man. Yep.
So that's ditch number one.
Yep. Ditch number two is I'm going to now get involved in everything I can or whatever, politics, social justice, and I'm going to treat them as if it's everything. I'm going to give everything to that as if this world is never going to end. And if this is all the hope there is for mankind, is this right in front of us?
Yeah. And I would say just on this side of that ditch is the approach that says, if I am engaged in any kind of peacemaking, I am doing gospel ministry. Mm. We got to be really careful. I would say that's not far from the truth, but that's not the whole truth.
Nuance that for me.
Yeah, because if I am engaging my world as an ambassador of the Prince of Peace, then I can be a peacemaker in whatever setting, right? If it's a political setting, like a neighborhood or community, civil type setting. But if I don't ever speak the name of Jesus, you know, I can be involved in these peacemaking efforts in promoting human flourishing, like you said. But none of my conversations, even my personal conversations, ever come around to who Jesus is and what he has done for sinners. Then I'm not completing the mission, right? It's like I'm running out to the battle and I'm swinging the sword, but I'm not hitting anything. I'm not sure what the right illustration is. I'm improvising.
I'm following.
Here. But we must make sure that we speak the name of Jesus if we're going to be, you know, fully functioning ambassadors of his in this foreign land. That's the point I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, and I think you can take that and see, all right, caring for my fellow man, right, and bringing peace here on earth with people, like that's like a baseline, like at the very minimum, like. But we want to make sure we do more than that, right? Yeah. It is more. So we have to make sure that we are keeping the eternal matters in mind so that it's not just that all these things are a means, like I'm manipulating people, like I'm going to feed you so I can tell you about Jesus, right? And that's where a lot of, I know, debate has come. And is it just a means and you don't actually, no, I can legitimately care that you're hungry.
Yes.
And I can say that I'm showing the glory of God, the love, compassion, grace of God in that act, period.
Yep.
But my thing is, I don't have to stop there, right? Like I am able to do a both and. I want to feed you, and I would like to tell you about the hope of Christ.
And it may be that not every, you know, depending on how active you are in some particular kind of ministry or service, you know, active service, you may not get to share the gospel with every single person that you help. The point is, you're coming as an ambassador of the Prince of Peace. You are loving your neighbor as you love yourself,
yes, right?
And in doing that, you are an ambassador of Christ. But along the way, the goal, all the way along, the ultimate goal is making disciples. So as I'm going and as I'm engaging in these things, how can I engage in disciple making? So back to the text in Ephesians chapter 2, Christ is the one who has broken down the wall of hostility between us, you and me, and between us and God. And so as now people who have been made right with God, we can live out that peace with one another in the body of Christ, and then we can extend that peace and that love outside the body of Christ to the world around us. I keep thinking of Paul's words in, is it Romans 12? I can't think off the top of my head, where he says, as much as it is up to you, live at peace with all men, or be at peace with all men.
12:18.
Thank you. And I think that a lot of us as Christians sometimes will look at various things and say, well, that's not really up to me. And I just want to challenge that, because I'm challenging myself here in public.
Right.
Right. That's not up to me. I'm not really involved. It doesn't really cross my path. Okay. Well, we can't do every issue.
That goes back to what we talked about a few months ago.
Yes.
I can't do everything about everything.
Right.
And I can't even do something about everything.
But I can do something.
About something.
About something. And what I challenge, I used to challenge my kids with this when you know, it was regarding hostility in school, you know. And I would quote this verse, as much as it is up to you. And I would say, if you're there, then to some degree, it's up to you,
mm-hmm,
right? Because this thing is happening here in front of you. If you're going to be an ambassador of the Prince of Peace, then speak peace into that situation. You may put yourself at a little bit of a risk.
Yeah.
But you're there, and if you're there, then to some degree, it's up to you. So as much as it is up to you, be at peace with all men.
Yeah, and that means sometimes I am going to give it my best attempt to bring peace. And yeah, it may escalate, but as much as it was up to me, yeah, I did my part.
I'm coming as a peaceful person, a peacemaker. Jesus said, peacemakers will be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want.
And let's bring this now off kind of the big world platform, national platform, you know, of large issues to the family, right? Because that's where a lot of this really starts to hit home, is trying to bring peace in my marriage, trying to bring peace between me and my children, whatever the case may be. How do we make the connection between the peace that Christ was able to bring between Jew and Gentile, which I don't think we can really get in our mind just how deeply hostile that was,
mm-hmm,
to how should I care for my wife, or for the woman listening, my husband?
Yeah. We've back to our one aspect of our identity in Christ is that we are people of peace. We have been reconciled to God, and reconciliation has been provided between us. And so now we need to live as people of peace in our home. And that's where we're the most vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy, because in our homes, right, within the four walls of our little castles, we feel free to be the, you know, to sort of let our ugliness loose, to indulge in the sinful things, anger and frustration and impatience and those sorts of things. And so I think it's there's where peace really grows, right?
Yeah.
That's where, and by the way, we haven't mentioned this, but peace is also one of the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
Love, joy, peace.
Yep.
So that's where the fruit of the Spirit is going to be born in our hearts, in our most vulnerable place, which is when I'm at home with my wife, when I'm at home with my kids.
And you know what, here is, I believe, something important for us to think about. If you're getting really involved with trying to bring peace in something in your community, you're trying to bring peace in the church, for me, as a pastor, but you can't have peace at home. That's where you really have to start questioning, like, what are you really about?
Yeah.
Right? Because you said, I mean, at home, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's why Jesus said of the shepherd, like, if his house isn't in order, then how can he care for the household of God? But I'm thinking about home, and it's so important because at home is where you can have the most hostility. Why? Well, I think there's multiple reasons, but the one in my mind right now is because that person, your spouse, knows you better than anyone else. Therefore, they've got more mud on you. They know the real you. And the thing is, as you know the not so pretty parts about someone else, it does increase hostility. So when we look at this, the Jews and the Gentiles, they hated one another, and there were these deep-rooted problems that they had, but they fundamentally disagreed with one another on all kinds of issues. And I think at home, it can be a real example of this because you have two people who have multiple things they may disagree on, and they've got all kinds of mud on each other, and the hostility, if there's a potential for the hostility to rise really high. And that's where, as Christians, we've got to be able to say, hey, as I talked about yesterday, you make peace with God, right? Like, I've got to get that right. And then we need to work on this peace between us, because that, again, that's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, right. And that's where you press in, where the hostility arises. You mentioned yesterday that our temptation, this is also true, especially in the local church, that when difficulty arises, we tend to run away.
Yeah.
And as...
because that's going to make peace. I'll run from the problem.
Right.
And now there's peace.
Right. It's not really peace. It's just avoidance.
Yep.
Right? You ran away from the battle is what you did.
That's why I love the picture that Paul gives us here. And I think the biblical definition of peace, we've got to reorient what we think. Peace is not just the absence of hostility or absence of violence and fighting. It actually does something in us. It draws us near.
Yeah.
So if I'm running away, I am not a peacemaker.
Right. That's very good. We could say maybe... peace is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of reconciliation.
Wow.
Because reconciliation is an active, right? It's an active thing.
It was very tweetable.
Pursuing each other. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Now we've got to create rabbit trails, like Twitter handle.
No,
I ain't doing that.
No.
I'm totally not doing that.
But that was tweetable.
It was. All right. So, but that's Paul, right? That's all I'm doing is sort of putting Paul's theology together there.
You know, and I do think that he makes these terms very synonymous to try to help us understand the different pieces, so that peace, reconciliation, being brought near, all of these things are describing the same thing that's happening.
Yeah.
So if we want to have peace with each other, we've got to have all those factors in mind.
Yeah. 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 We want to be peacemakers, not conflict avoiders.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow. Another tweetable line.
I have to like summarize things from my brain, or it doesn't sink in. Yeah. I won't remember.
I like that.
So that's how I remember.
Well, all right. In order to make peace with our listeners here at Radiant Church, we have to also make sure that we keep this podcast to the appropriate times.
You are the king of transitions, my friend. Hey, well done.
You know what I like? I've had a few people tell me, man, that fits the exact time it takes me to get to work. I'm like, awesome. That was the whole goal. So listen, we love you. We're here for you, and hope you'll join us next week as we rabbit trail a little bit more together. I'm Brian Payne.
I'm Andy Snyder.
The preacher.
And the prof. Happy trails, everybody.